On today's Contract 2020 TA Education, I'll be speaking with NC Chair Jody Revan about Section 3, Expenses. All right, Jody, let's start out at the top, Section 3, Expenses. Give us the overview of the new section.
Yeah, this is a section that's all new for Contract 2020. Moving expenses also is currently a standalone part of our current contract, but we've incorporated it at the end of this section. It was kind of scattered out in different places in general and displacements and those type of places, but we've kind of condensed it down to one-stop shopping for the pilot here.
I think part of the pitch we had back as we introduced it was the company nickels and dimes us on expenses compared to our peers over to other airlines.
Yeah, that's fair. And we tried to go with a different, simpler path so that we didn't have to constantly do the concur. And I think the company realizes some savings from pilots that just don't bother. But we've made it to most of these things to the point where they're matching or exceeding the industry. You just got to take the time to turn in the report.
All right. So let's start out. Section A is expense reporting and reimbursement. What are the highlights on this section here?
We give the guy about 60 days to file the expenses. You know, most of the other employees at the company have a 30-day limit. We thought 60 was reasonable. If guys are traveling or if they have some vacation or that type of thing. If the reimbursements are paid, they're paid to whatever account you have on file with your direct deposit. So it should be pretty simple for the pilot and mostly through his EFB or his chief pilot.
So one of the problems that we've seen is a pilot will put it in an expense that exceeds the limit. You know, they put a limit on physical exams. And if that number is too high, it gets kicked back. Is that get solved?
Yeah, I think it was early growing pains. It just wasn't common sense of the whole concur reality. So what we put in the language was that, you know, hey, there's a maximum. And if you're above that maximum, you only have to put in your reimbursement once. So turn in the actual receipt. If it's above the maximum, the company won't kick it back. They'll just pay out whatever the maximum is for something like a flight physical or an EKG or a hotel reimbursement.
All right. Section B is Emergency Expense Authority. I can tell everybody that's pretty much current book. So let's move on to Section C, which is per diem. How has that changed in the proposed contract?
So we're right up against the IRS maximum and also at the top of the industry. So, you know, currently the per diem is $235 for CONUS and $285 for outside of the CONUS. So we went ahead and raised that and then also put an inflationary raise on that each year, if you will, a 2.5% inflation component. So when we get to date of ratification, we go up to $290. And then in January 2025 and each year thereafter, 2.5% is applied to that for the domestic and then $345 for outside the CONUS.
So as we continue down, the provision that I'm reading is additional per diem. I know that affects or that's caused by crew meals. So speak to the listeners about the NC's approach and thought process as to how we arrived at this proposal.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, this is the one where people talk about, you can't eat a $20 bill. The challenge that the company has is, you know, putting ovens on 737s, but we wanted to have some type of, when a guy has a long leg, we need to provide some form of reimbursement. Where we arrived at was for legs that are 4 hours or longer, it's a $20 per diem that's added to each leg that's 4 hours or longer. So this would cover all of the ETOPS flights. And, you know, Lord knows it's more expensive out in Hawaii. So, you know, guy's going to get for an ETOPS trip that goes out and back an extra $40 to deal with the meals while he's over there.
All right, Jody, Section D, charter and non-revenue flying expenses. That's no change, but basically there just looks like references to other sections, which brings us down to uniform expenses. What's new here?
Yeah, so what we've done here is currently we have enjoyed, if you go buy something at the uniform shop, you can have a direct billed, you know, from your paycheck. We've kind of discontinued that with the pilots who have been on property. We've continued it for probationary pilots. But what we did do was establish an account. So you get about $270 a year. It can carry over to a maximum of $500 that will be in your account. And then you can go in each year and freshen up your uniform. And if you're a new hire, it gets you set up, you know, to do business from the start.
I'd also add that I don't know that it says it specifically in the language, but it's for anything that the company vendor sells. So it's uniforms and luggage. I know they do carry the roller bags and stuff if you want to use it for that as well.
Yeah, great point. And we did try to get the headsets. That was just too much of a logistical nightmare. And then also the kind of the competitive of which headset brand do you put in the uniform shop. So we'll talk about that a little later, but we handled that separately.
And then before we move on from uniforms, I was just looking through the contract comparison that our EF&A committee has developed that they're going to be releasing simultaneously with the new TA. And as I look through American, Delta, and United, the only reimbursement I see on uniforms is at United, where pilots are allowed reasonable cleaning expenses supported by a receipt for the cleaning of jackets, trousers, shirts, and outer coats. Surprisingly, I don't see the other airlines as providing a uniform replacement just in the event of uniform changes like they'd had with us a few years ago and went to the black pants. So let's move on to parking expenses. I know that's been sort of a sore subject for years and years. What do we have in the TA?
Not much different than what, you know, they rolled out for an enterprise-wide parking that took a little pressure, you know, off of the negotiation. And this is something we beat our heads against the wall, you know, where we have to provide something for everyone. And in this case, it ended up being to our benefit because we didn't have to expend negotiating capital. So they're going to provide parking at the bases. If that parking isn't to your liking, they'll pay you a reimbursement of up to $60 a month and also do that at any Southwest station. And you just handle that through your coordinators and your chief pilots through the EFB.
Now, we have a lot of opportunities for paid parking, whether it's short notice call outs or co-terminal flying. How does that affect these parking expenses?
Yeah, very different. That's above and in addition to, you'll hear in the other sections when we talk about reserve call outs and when we get to co-terminals late in the implementation schedule where you can Uber back and forth. So we definitely achieved above and beyond what just this base parking provides.
All right, next section's on FAA physical examination expenses. Tell us about those.
This one was surprisingly a tough one to get people to understand, but we're there. We basically just matched what the top of the industry Delta amount was as a cap for expenses and then just put an inflator on there for each year. So the new caps on your medical exams, $298, $191 for an EKG. And then we just put a 3% inflation. And keep in mind, these are maxes. So, you know, if you've got one of those AMEs that charges, still $180, you know, it's not going to pay above and beyond. And as we kind of mentioned earlier, you just put in the receipt and they'll pay you whatever it is up to that maximum of $298.
And we also made a point that they're going to continue to reimburse based on a single email or a single entry through the EFB app where you just send in the receipt and a picture of your medical. You don't have to do the concur. At least the pilot doesn't. It's always getting done in the background, so it's not really saving the company anything, but it's a better pilot experience.
Absolutely.
Before we move on from physical exams, I do want to just highlight the fact that at the OALs, Jody, you mentioned that that was matching top of industry, which is Delta. That's true. Their difference is they get a payment of a flat reimbursement. They call it a reimbursement, but it's actually a stipend is what they get for that amount. American's reimbursement matches Delta's, but they don't have the inflator that we have. And then United is limited to $100 for an exam and $75 for an EKG, which is actually lower than the $120 and $50 that we have today. So that's OAL comparisons on physical exams. Now, before we move on from that, talk about the non-routine FAA medical exams and how those work.
Yeah, there's a small percentage of our pilots who are on special issuance waivers. And oftentimes, you know, everything they have has been covered by our benefits. Of course, the benefits certainly got better in this negotiation. But in the event that they're not covered, you know, sometimes these guys are having to do out-of-pocket tests or exams. So we establish, you know, through the CAP program with the company, if they can show, hey, look, this wasn't covered under the regular plan or the Choice Plus plan, whichever they were in, but I had to do this in order to get my special issuance waiver. We've established a $5,000 per procedure cap and then also a $10,000 lifetime cap. So should be able to get these guys back up and flying, especially the cardio guys. A lot of times that stuff is a little more expensive than they saw coming in. So made sure that we didn't leave those guys behind.
All right. Section H is required documents and international expenses. I think we can probably jump through that just saying that there's no real changes from today. We'll get reimbursed. So let's move down to headset, section I. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the headset reimbursement. This is the company getting out of the headset business. But the way it's worded and the way we confirmed and the way they mean it is that every pilot who has finished new hire training ever at this company and currently on the seniority list can do a one-time $1,000 reimbursement for a headset. So if you're flying on one that's getting a little raggedy or you don't have the noise canceling, get out there and get a headset and get that reimbursed with your chief pilot.
So then section J is, well, SIDA badges, no change. And then K is moving expenses. You said this came from a previous standalone section. Walk us through this and the changes here.
Yeah. So this has been added because, you know, in leaves of absence, we agreed to moving leave for all domiciles, and that changes if a pilot moves his household, but only non-voluntary displacements and new bases will qualify for the leave to be paid. So, you know, the paid moves will be provided for new domiciles, displacements, and return from furlough. So there was lots of, you know, confusion in this. And so, you know, for instance, the opening of LA and the flipping of Oakland ETOPS, that highlights some of the vague and conflicting language in our current CBA. So language, this section is meant to clarify current practice and intent when it comes to what a newly established domicile is, and also when a pilot qualifies for a paid move. But there's no real change to current intent and practice except for some distances. As you know, the current CBA paid moves, it's 200 highway miles or 50 miles from a SWA airport, 1.5 TFP from a new domicile. So we had to kind of adjust for the fact that cities are getting bigger and more expensive. So we expanded the radius out to 250 miles. And we increased the commuter city range to 75 miles of an airport, and also used a within 1.6 TFP as opposed to the 1.5.
Okay. So generally, the reason that we'll use this section of moving expenses is for involuntary displacements, because that's the majority of the people that get impacted by this. What's changed here?
So currently, you get two nights per reserve block that could be reimbursed. And then we changed that in contract 2020 to a one night per wrap, which makes more sense if you go unused, that you could, you know, get paid for every day that you're sitting in that hotel. With release to check-in and our new rules, it's not as likely if a guy wants to fly. And I think that was actually why it kind of helped the company be on board with agreeing to this provision. But it's a mutual benefit for us to make sure that the guy's reimbursed for every night he sits.
All right. So continuing down through the moving expenses, I see some changes to the moves themselves, the money down there. How about changes to the moving expenses or limits?
So mainly just the weights. We just had to address, you know, what the new reality is. And also what was in the company's guideline for employees was higher at one point than what was there for our pilots. And our pilots move a lot more than people that work, you know, for the GO. So we shored those up. Got the weights increased from 18,000 to 25,000 pounds per move. Also, the mileage increase from 24.18 per mile to 67 per mile for each vehicle.
That's a big jump.
It's a big jump, but it also matches the published IRS rate, you know, so it just made sense. And then there's a $1,200 reimbursement for any costs in association with selling your home. And that's always something that pilots have to address if they're making a move to a newer base, et cetera. So, you know, one that I hadn't thought of, but I thought it was a great idea, was we ended up with a lease termination reimbursement in contract 2020. Because a lot of times these things happen, you know, and a guy's, especially a new guy who's living in a place temporarily, and he could get displaced at a time where, you know, it didn't match up to his lease.
That lease reimbursement's the same $1,200 that the guy who owns his house would get paid for selling his. So those match up.
Yes, good point.
And then it looks like the rest is sort of just tax. And it sounds like Damien got involved in this. There's a lot of taxes and other little details in there until we get down to travel. Explain that one for the listeners.
To me, this should have been a freebie a long time ago. The must-ride travel for a pilot and his family. And then you can designate up to two house hunting trips for purchase and moving and sale of your former home. So the reasons aren't in stone, but examples of how they could be used. You know, we just kind of put that in there. We would always say in the contract 2020, you know, see a pilot, board a pilot. Let's get them on if they want to travel. It's a perk that other carriers provide their pilots. You know, it's free. Why are we not doing this? And we managed to make quite a bit of ground in contract 2020 in that.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check out the Contract 2020 TA Education page on SWAPA.org.